Hey, what are you listening to?
This is the best podcast ever.
Tell me what it is.
It's called Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to listen.
You are too young to listen to Technorama.
You're crazy. Nobody is too young to listen.
Except for you.
I'll show you. I'll summon the power of the pod. You win this time, but just you wait. Someday, I'll show you.
I told you. Now leave before Chuck and Craig finish Geek Thoughts. It's my favorite part.
You'll be sorry.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 98 for April 6, 2006. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me is my co-host, Craig Stepp, and I wish we were sitting in the same room, but we're not. Our plan for traveling fell through.
Yeah, Chuck's plane was yesterday.
It left a day early. There was a whole time temporal displacement thing going on, and no one clued me in.
You know what I was thinking was that that empty seat sure wasn't cheap.
Now, you said that your wife cleaned the house, made you clean the house, so I'm supposed to feel guilty.
Well, we both cleaned the house. Yes, I'll give her credit. I'm not going to deny it. She cleaned, but I helped, and I was like, she goes, well, we got to do this before he gets here, before we got to do this. We got to clean this, and oh, guess what? He's not coming.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well. Yeah. I didn't even cut the grass for you, man. Then you made me climb up on the roof and take the banner down. Welcome, Chuck.
Well, I was expecting that.
I even had the Chuck Chat logo on there, the chicken.
Big silk screen thing from Kinko's. How much is one of these going to cost me?
My neighbors were like, can you hurry up and take that down? All
right. Hey, that intro was, if you didn't quite catch it, that was supposed to be a cheap ripoff of an anime cartoon.
Just like the rest of our show.
Cheap ripoff? I was watching the kids watch TV the other day, and they were watching some anime cartoon, and I went, could
Chuck's
be
watching the kids watch TV. Who watches him? His wife.
And it was the same cheesy dialogue. Hey, you can't do that around here. You're too young for that. And I went, oh, God. And, you know, they jump up in the air, and they're flying at each other from 12 feet apart, but they're going for like 30 seconds. And I was like, cripes are only 10 feet apart. How long does it take to hit each other? Hit each other already.
Gordon smacked her heads together.
I think they were watching a show called Code Lyoko, which is CodeLyoko. And it
Code Lyoko.
Sounds like an open source project to me.
That's right.
Do you know how to code Lyoko? No, but I'm a whiz bang at PHP.
Code Lyoko.
Wow, nice reverb there, buddy. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got lots of strange news about eyesight through robotics, passwords messed up, and all kinds of cool stuff. We've got a little bit of strategy cast we want to roll at you. We've got a missing piece of Sunday night's show that we slipped in here through the magic of podcasting, and a way to track ideas in the shower. So stick with us, and we'll be back.
Kalyoko!
Would you knock it off? On this day in tech history for April 6, 2006. This is April 6th, it's the 96th day of the year in the Georgian calendar. The Gregorian calendar. There are 269 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 648 BC that the earliest solar eclipse is recorded by the ancient geeks. Oh, that's Greeks. And celluloid is patented on this date in 1869. Not that cottage cheese stuff you see on the back of fat ladies' legs. And on this date in 1906, Admiral Robert E. Perry and his servant Matthew H. Henson became the first people to reach the North Pole. And it was on this date in 1926 that Walter Varney Airlines makes its first commercial flight from Pasco, Washington to Elko, Nevada. That's right, Varney is the root company of today's United Airlines. And what would the world be without this date in 1930 when Hostess Twinkies are invented? Will Rogers starts broadcasting the Will Rogers program on the radio on this date in 1930. And exactly 1 year later, Little Orphan Annie debuts on the Blue Network of NBC. In 1962, the Seattle World's Fair opens its gates. The city's famous Space Needle was built as part of that event. And it was on this date in 1965 that Early Bird, the first communications satellite to be placed in synchronous orbit, is launched. Launch of the Pioneer 11 spacecraft took place on this date in 1973. And on this date in 1992, author Isaac Asimov passed away at the age of 72. This is the date that marks the Russian nuclear accident at Tomsk 7 in 1993. And finally, on this date in 1998, Pakistan tests medium-range missiles capable of hitting India. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1890 to Anthony Fokker, the Dutch aircraft designer. You heard me right. It's hard to believe, but Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams, turned 69 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 6, 2006.
This is Garrick Van Buren with the First Crack Podcast. You're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
Welcome back.
Hello. Hello there.
That's quite the yodeling you were doing a little while ago.
Ricola.
Ricola.
Why don't we give a shout out to the chat room while we're sitting here? We've got Bumblebee. East Bay Ant, K-Owl, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Stingray 42, and Tim Elliott. And I'm sure others will mosey on in during the show. We're having a grand old time. Well, there's Mad Marv. Hey, Marv!
Hey, there's no Zahadu?
Not yet, but I'll bet it shows up soon.
It. Okay.
Did I say it?
Yeah. Yes, whatever. You did, sir.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Move right along.
Now, today was an historic day in history. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Well, Christian Stout put us onto this a day or two ago. Christian Stout is the host of the Home Network Help.info podcast. He said just after 1 a.m. on Wednesday, it was 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 06. Of course, that assumes you're using our backwards American way of representing dates. Otherwise, you have to wait till next month when it's 06, 05, 04, 03, 02, 01.
No, still, it works backwards as well. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No. Six, that's what I said. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you go in year, month, day, anyway. I had a hard time getting work done on Tuesday because none of my files were found because it was 404. Get it? Slaying them in the aisles.
Chuck, can we not have this meeting? I'm sorry, I don't know where everything's at.
We're not using three-letter acronyms. We're just going number crazy. That's just the way my brain works. I literally got up in the morning and my iHome clock radio on the side of the bed said 5 a.m., 4:04. Ah, my clock is lost! I can't find a file! Yeah. What time is it, really?
You're shaking your wife. What time is it?
And then I go into the lunchroom to nuke my lunch, and I was a little late. Normally, I eat lunch at 11:30, and the darn microwave said, 12:00. I'm like, oh, someone needs to set the time on this microwave. Oh, that's because it's not a VCR.
Well, you, hey, what was that? It's not a VCR.
Everybody's VCR says 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Did you see the email I sent you for your Gmail podcast?
When?
The other week, man, or the other day. My spam filter in Gmail was
Yeah.
I said spam 101.
I saved that. We could use that as album art at some point.
I sent it to you for album art for Gmail podcast.
Although the 101, I don't end that show with a 101, but it'll
doesn't still matter. Okay. Doesn't matter.
Okay, you don't have to get all pissy about it.
Look, if you were here, I'd hit you.
Take your meds. Let's go on with the news. We got some crazy stuff, like this guy who thinks that human time travel will happen this century. if it's going to happen this century, don't you think we would have already known about it from somebody who came back and told us?
Hey, Craig, come check this out. Come on. It was like my Xbox hack a while back.
Ronald Mallett, professor of the University of Connecticut, has used Einstein's equations to design a time machine with circulating laser beams
mounted on sharks' heads.
Throw me a bone.
Throw me a bone here.
With a brilliant idea and equations based on Einstein's relativity theories, Ronald Mallett from the University of Connecticut has devised an experiment to observe a time-traveling neutron, a circulating
The time machine he made looks just like the H.G. Wells one.
Yeah, only palm-sized. Look, everything gets smaller in the future.
Oh, gosh, this is going to be a great show tonight.
Check out the show notes. We also found out that the geek lifestyle may be hazardous to your health. No kidding! Gee, there's a news flash, isn't it?
Oh, those cheeseburgers and Mountain Dew? Yeah, that's really good for me.
I'm currently practicing board-certified internal medicine physician at a large, rapidly expanding high-tech growth community. Symptom number one, horrible sleep hygiene. Yeah, cut down on the Mountain Dew, maybe it'll help. Number two, headaches. Think the monitors are doing that to you? Number three, back pain. Get off your butt and walk around once in a while. Do some exercise and your back won't hurt. Number four.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
Number four, poor attention. Poor attention span. Oh, sorry. Poor attention span was symptom number four.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't pay attention.
Loads of comments like, poor attention span is not a medical condition. It's just a sign that you're being asked to pay attention to boring stuff.
All right.
I don't think any of that's
along before. Better move along to our audience sketches.
All right, tell me about something really cool that you found.
This is kind of fascinating to me. What does that sound?
What sound?
You don't hear that?
That sound?
It sounds like your air conditioner kicked on.
No.
Anyway.
The heat's been off for a few days. It's above freezing again.
Anyway, this new device allows a woman to see even without eyes. She had a car accident, and it took her vision with it. And so she thought, well, I'll just have to, do things differently, of course. Well, here recently, her doctor had told her there was a way to possibly give her vision back, and what they did was she had to go out of the country. Can't remember where it was at. I want to say Italy, like, but I'll,
Thailand right. or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, read, I'll look.
Anyway, so what the deal was is that they implanted the cable into her brain or the device. She has to carry it around on her hip, but she's got these glasses on, and it looks like it's got a little webcam or something.
Yeah, it does,
attached on the lens. And she says that she can see shadows and light and outlines now, so she can actually see to a point, which I thought was pretty good. Of course, they did say that you have to have had vision to make this work right. You know, at some point, I guess you got to know, your brain's got to know how to see at least once to make this happen. So that's what I said.
Oh, otherwise, good. You just see like strange flashes and not.
But you never would have been trained. You never would have been trained to know how to see, if you've never seen before, so your brain wouldn't know how to do it. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
And just before the show, I was passed this link via the chat room. Who gave this one to me? Jim? John. John 335, who's no longer in there. The police made a password blunder. An NSW police blunder has led to a database of email passwords, including those of an anti-terrorism chief and hundreds of journalists, published on the internet. The names, email addresses, and passwords of as many as 800 people who signed up to receive the NSW police media release are listed on the database. Oops, there's a screenshot and they've got the passwords all blurred out. First of all, who's carrying around passwords in clear text and not encrypted?
At the NSA.
Yeah, that's good.
You always hear about a laptop being stolen and credit card numbers. It had like 100,000 card numbers on it, sorry.
There are also bizarre passwords such as Smelly Undies, Enforcer, Chunder, and Crunchy Maggots. Yeah, people use really good passwords there.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, this way, crap doesn't just happen at my job.
By the way, I figured out... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm done.
I hate to interrupt you on that note. Anyway, I found out what the source was. Just a minute. You know, that audio I heard just a minute ago, I was trying to figure out where it was coming from.
Yes.
I clicked on the link so we could talk about the next item.
The modular video components?
Yeah, and the video started playing. That's why I heard that.
You know, I got caught by that a number of times. Don't you hate it when people put audio in? Well, you were watching a clip, but I hate it when they put audio in like a little flash animation.
You know what? I went to MySpace.com just to see what the deal was about, because I don't deal with it at all. However, I went over there. Every freaking page you go to is somebody's got music on it. What's the deal with that?
I had a good one.
Web pages with music.
I'm working on a new interview for Technorama. Mm-hmm. Gentleman's name is John Chatterton. Some of you may know him from a show on the History Channel called Deep Sea Detectives. That's where I saw him first. But what I didn't know is about 6 months ago, my brother recommended that I read a book called Shadow Divers. He is one of the guys who found this German U-boat off the shore of New Jersey in 1991. So I'm currently listening to the audiobook Shadow Divers, and I'm trying to contact him to schedule an interview. Should be a great interview about technology. Another podcast already interviewed him up and down about the book. I think it was Radio Scuba did that. So I will touch on the book, but I want to talk more about the technology and that kind of thing. Meanwhile, I've got his webpage up in the background, and this helicopter keeps flying by about every 2 minutes. Holy crap, there's a helicopter over my roof. Oh, it's a web page again. And then I forget about it, and I go reading another article.
Stupid police.
Go away, the hostages have been freed weeks ago.
The judge said you couldn't do that.
So let's get on with the modular video components.
Yeah, that's what I was pulling up.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool once you turn the volume down. But no, yeah, it looks like he had little glass tiles, and he puts them on the interface, and he can interact with different parts. I think each tile has a different program or
something. I think so, because one is labeled like shopping cart, and you put it down on this grid, and it lights up, and it tells you what's in the shopping cart. Another one's labeled people, and it looks like a phone directory with pictures. Very, very interesting stuff. Where did we find that?
That's pretty cool, but you know what I would rather do? Instead of having to worry about some kind of interface like this where you have a tile to put down, why not they like have a part of the screen where you select what you want to do and then touch the tile and make it that area do that?
You lost me on that one.
What I'm saying, instead of going, hey, I want the weather tile, yeah, and go find it and stick it on there, rather than on the screen select weather and then touch the square area you want to make weather.
Oh, I see. More universal tiles.
Yeah. Or no tiles. Why keep up with that? I don't want to carry around crap. You know what I'm saying?
No SD cards for Craig for Christmas. Get it?
I mean, just do a touch screen. You know, I want to, you know, hey, on Star Trek, man, you don't see them carry around tiles, did you?
Isolinear chips.
I was going to say except for the chips, but no, they didn't carry them around. They were in the Data pulled him out.
out of his head.
Yeah. But you know what I mean. I'm just saying, why not have a touchscreen interface where you can go, you know, make something pop up.
Special thanks to Stingray 42 for that one. We are getting quite the news team at Technorama, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But first...
Yeah, so I get all this functionality. Look, honey, I'm watching a trailer off the internet.
Oh, man, I'm getting more and more eager to buy one.
When I moved it, I heard something go... Guess what was in there?
Harrison!
We don't get more subscribers, we're gonna fall off the list. Man.
It's more complex than that. All we ask is that you tell a friend a week. And if you like Technorama, odds are they will like Technorama.
Throw us a bone here.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama. Tech without BSOD.
Yeah, we still got to talk to Charles. He's got lots of stories.
Okay.
He's a geek of the early days, and he's got some really funny stories. I was Skyping with him one night and just went on about stories and stories. And I said, we've got to record this at some point.
And at some point you were like, look, I got to get off, so I got to work now.
I got to shave and shower one of these days. I'm just kidding.
Well, listen, in our hacks and strange stories, I put this in here because I thought it was kind of a hack. What it was is, I don't know if you guys have seen The Simpsons this last week, but they did the TiVo intro where they all run into the couch and then it stops and you hear boom and then bleep, bleep, you know, like somebody's getting ready to delete the recording. And
Were you fooled by it?
Yeah, check this out. My wife doesn't watch The Simpsons, and she was sitting on the couch. She goes, here, you can have the remote. So I was like, okay, cool. And I'm okay with that. I know some other people that are, too. Anyway, so she goes, here, I'm not going to watch anything. So I go, cool, I'll go watch The Simpsons. Well, she's sitting there with the checkbook or something, you know, sitting on the other couch, and all of a sudden, they go, da-da-da-da, and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm not doing anything. And then I was like, oh, man.
Like you hit the wrong button and it was just deleted?
Yeah, well, just like, was it Paul or Larry from...
Paul.com Security News.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one was it. Anyway, they said they had several cats and they were watching it and the same thing. Him and his wife were like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they thought it was one of their cats sitting on the remote and were throwing the cats off the couch. And that crossed my mind too. I was like, what the hell's going on? And anyway.
No, I was watching it and I knew that was coming because I think they've done that before, something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls were downstairs eating ice cream and I said, girls, grab your ice cream, come on upstairs. You've got permission to eat ice cream in the bedroom. Watch this. You will laugh. Because now that they're getting used to TiVo, they know the menus and things. And, Dad, what'd you do? I didn't do it. Rewind. I want to see it again.
Oh, well. Anyway, I just thought that was funny.
That was funny.
Especially, I think it was Larry. When Larry had the same experience, it's like, oh, this is so good one in the show. Anyway,
I mentioned that my friend Ryan picked up an Xbox right from under my nose today.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday is traditionally chili day. We went out to Chili and right next door is a used DVD store, a used CD and DVD store. I picked up Serenity for $9.99. And then I realized
you didn't have it already?
I did not have the movie. So now I can watch that again anytime I want. I also picked up Phantom Menace just because the kids said, Dad, do we have number one on DVD? And I said, no, we got everything else on DVD.
Number one was number two.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, you just it's kind of like having a complete Star Trek collection, but trying to not do Star Trek V. You know, you can't have a complete collection without one thing.
Wait. It wasn't – the Phantom Menace was not Star Trek V. Star Trek V No. You know what? I actually enjoyed the Phantom Menace.
You'd rather I not compare the two?
Hey, I enjoyed the Phantom Menace, you know, but I wouldn't say it was a great movie.
Cybok, why are you wearing pajamas through this whole film?
Anyway, I picked up those two things, and he said, hey, I see you have an Xbox up there on the shelf. Could I look at the manufacturer date? Because his mod chip works better with things made before 2003 or something. So it was a 2002 machine, and he bought it for $99, and I went, oh, good thing you didn't tell me that was up there, because I would have bought it. So I had to appease my shopping urge. I went and got a new golf bag and driver, not the kind you install to make video graphics better. But
USB golf club?
I'm context switching on you. I went from computers to golf real fast.
Hmm.
So I got new golf stuff. Spring is officially here for me when I take the golf stuff. I put the ski stuff away, so now it'll probably snow.
Go to the uncle and golf.
What the hell? Let's get them... speaking of Star Trek.
I'm feeling giddy tonight.
Speaking of Star Trek, were we speaking of Star Trek, or did I just bring that up?
You can now.
Spike TV is running Next Generation and DS9 in the afternoon, so thank you, TiVo. I can catch up on some of the DS9s. They're running some of the later episodes with, the Jem'Hadar and the Breen, and when they were forming an alliance, and the founders were having, like, face decay.
Yeah,
I didn't watch too many of the end ones, but go ahead.
I wasn't a big DS9 fan, but I know, did I have a friend that was. Gosh, he was like totally into it. I was big into TNG. But I tell you, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be playing all the Star Treks. I don't know about these two, but all the other Star Treks. I think like the original series. You know, the ones they enhanced and they have the commentary and stuff in between them. They're going to be playing those again and some other stuff like that. Those were great. Did you watch those when they came out?
The original series when they first came out?
No.
that was the 60s, buddy.
come into this time frame. No, on the Sci-Fi Channel a while back, they had remastered and commentary for the original series. It was like it was kind of an updated version, but it was enhanced and cleaned up. And anyway, they replayed them all on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was pretty cool.
How did I miss that?
I think they'll be playing them again, so you can keep an eye out for that. Cool. I like the original series.
The one thing about the DS9 shows that I'm watching in the later episodes, where after Jadzia Dax dies and the Dax symbiont moves on to Ezri, and mm-hmm. becomes Ezri Dax.
Yes.
There's a race of people called the Breen, and they wear these helmets, and they've got the kind of a snout on these helmets, and I'll be doggone if that doesn't look just like the helmet that Leia was wearing when she came to rescue Han Solo. I gotta dig out Return of the Jedi and check this out, because it looks like the same problem. Yeah, only it's not, consider me a friend. It's more like... yes, I would like a fries with that. I mean, it's more disturbing.
Oh. You're my kind of scum. I know where everybody would say, dang a gum, you're a geek.
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. If somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player.
I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Say, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
We didn't lose him. We just locked him in the closet.
All
right. We were supposed to spend a whole lot of time talking about a strategy discussion when we were face-to-face. So this is going to be a little quicker since we're not face-to-face.
I don't want to talk to you.
To duke it out. We need your help for news stories. Actually, I'm going to back up. No, mm-hmm. Let's start there. I'm all over the place. We have an outline in front of our face, and I still can't keep on track. News stories. Everybody comes across these crazy news stories about the tinfoil hats and the Area 51 stories and the things about the woman who... it doesn't have to be high-tech news. You know the theme. If you've been listening to Technorama for a while, you know we are not all about Apple, Microsoft, and Google. There's a billion other tech podcasts out there that do that. We're the offbeat stuff. We're the, man invents computer made out of cheese kind of thing. That's where Technorama...
Man with tinfoil hat travels cross country.
In a cheese wagon. In a car powered by beer. There, I switched to beer.
Okay, that's better.
That's what we're looking for. You can be a volunteer news hound. I don't care if you want to email this to us. If you want to participate in a week, we can set up a wiki page and you can start sticking things in there. You know, as long as you don't use swear words or lots of medicinal things, it should be okay because there's a wiki filter in there now that watches for words like Viagra and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even
medical
know.
Terms. Stuff.
Medical terms. So let us know if you're interested. Everybody gets this stuff. And, you know, you're going to get one of these. And I want you to think, ooh, Chuck and Craig might like that because we've got to pull this stuff together. Like every 3 or 4 days, it's just churn, churn, churn. There seems to be a never-ending supply of it, and we'd like your help pulling it together for us. I'll tell you the real reason why this new job is really starting to suck up my time, and I have to dedicate with traveling. It's really starting to hurt, and unless we can pull enough stories together and pull each show together twice a week, we may be considering going down to one show a week because there's still all the pre-production things like the intros, like on this day in history, and
honestly, the intros do take a lot of time, but I really enjoy doing them.
Oh, actually, yeah! Don't get me wrong; the show's a riot to do. I'm loving it.
And to be honest with you, I really don't want to change the two. I want to stay at two shows a week. I don't want to have to change it unless I have to.
Yeah, because how long have we been saying feed your inner geek twice a week? That would just sound wrong.
Since May of last year.
So we also are considering going back to some commercial ads or sponsors and putting spots either in the beginning saying this show is sponsored by, you know,
Viagra.
Not Viagra. You know, Wonder Widgets or something. Or a produced spot, you know, hey kids, have you come on over here and ride the Wonder Widget?
They don't sound good.
All right. Whether it's produced by them or us is still up for debate. If you are in favor or opposed or indifferent to us taking on sponsors, there are costs involved with this, bandwidth and hosting and, you know, microphones and equipment, and you know, there's no salaries involved, no Learjets. But the expenses start to accrue. Unfortunately, we've been getting by on minimalistic budgets, but we would like to do some upgrades, maybe increase our technologies, maybe do things like that.
Job.
We would look for some sponsors to help us out. And I've got 2 or 3 people that are currently being worked over. Give us your money!
Worked over. Browbeated.
We're going to send Guido after you. No, we are in discussions with a couple of them for potential sponsorship, but I wanted to find out if there's a big aversion to it. I know some people are dead set against it, and some people say, you know, hey, I don't care, and we need options. But that is another thing we are considering. So that's pretty much the business side of where Technorama is. We've been doing this about a year, and we need to stop and consider this every once in a while.
Now, in all fairness, we're not changing anything right now. In all honesty, I should say.
Correct.
We're not changing anything just yet. So we're looking for feedback to see what you guys think, or if you have any different suggestions, you know, because as brilliant as we are, we can't come up with everything.
We're getting feedback right now. It's your show, Chuck. Do what you need. There. Okay. Decision made.
Okay. We enjoyed it. It's been a long ride. Bye.
Oh, my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've forgot a segment in the last show, so we've cheated and recorded it right after the last show. Summer is still here with us, but by the time you get this, you know, I'll be in North Carolina with Craig, and this will sound really funny. But it's recorded anyway. We're going to talk about time zones. Everybody shifted time zones except Arizona and parts of Indiana this past week, April 1st to 2nd, whatever it was. And I had a curiosity. Normally, I tell my computers I am on U.S. Central and I observe daylight savings time. Well,
they don't care.
Arizona, what time zone do you set them to? Do you set them to Mountain or Pacific?
They're actually, most computers nowadays have Mountain and then Mountain, Arizona.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, for half the year, we're the same time as Denver. For the other half of the year, we're the same time as L.A.
She's now 2 hours behind us, but we'll catch up in the spring.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be a spring.
In the fall.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be a pain when everybody switches and trying to make phone calls to people or whatever.
Well, not everybody it on is. The globe changes at the same time. The U.K. actually changes a week ahead of us. They go from GMT to BST.
Yeah. Chuck, I'm one talking of the summer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One of the people in the chat room is saying that Hawaii doesn't do daylight savings time either.
I'm moving there.
Really?
That's enough reason for me.
Yeah. Them and the macadamia nuts. Let's go.
There you go.
They got macadamia nuts. No. California has nuts.
Yeah, no, the only problem is, like, calling, you know, my friends back east, because I still have, I lived for a long time in the Philadelphia area, South Jersey, Philadelphia, and so I call them less frequently during the spring and summer because they're 3 hours ahead. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's, you know, it's 8:30, I'm getting off, it's 11:30 back there, can't call.
You gotta try my brother in Guam, it's tomorrow, like, lunchtime now.
Yeah. Well, no, we run into that when we interview authors in Australia. It's like, okay, it's 8 p.m. your time. Cool. You know, it's 8 a.m. tomorrow for you. Okay.
And podcasting doesn't make it any better because it's some other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad I got that curiosity out of my mind. I should have.
What kind of other abnormalities?
Abnormalities.
We're gonna make a drinking game out of Craig.
Let's see. We have large furry things running around in the desert that sometimes you can see. I have never seen a wild pig before I moved out here.
Is that a jackalope?
Javelinas. No, this is a real animal. A javelina. It's a huge, like, furry pig. It's got, like, spikes on it and everything. It's
chupacabra.
It's driving down the desert, and you're, like, you know, literally flying down the road. You'll see coyotes running along the side of the road, and ostrich farms. Ostriches, they have an ostrich festival out here every year.
Really?
Yeah, ostrich rodeo. I was like, oh, man.
Do they ride them, or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them ride them before. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Have you had an ostrich steak?
I've never had ostrich.
I've had emu burgers. In Wyoming.
Emu burger. I've had beefalo.
Beefalo.
Yeah, it was something. They called it beefalo. They called it beefalo.
Beefalo. That just sounds like genetics gone wrong.
I think so. But yeah, no, javelinas are... They were... I just had never seen one, and all of a sudden there's this brown furry thing in the scrub. Not far away from where I'm driving. I'm like, what in the... And I just look, what is that? Pig! It's a pig!
Like a furry pig, that size thing? I'm going to have to look this up.
They're not small. And apparently they can get pretty pretty nasty. But, you know, like, they're like wild, you know, wild boars that you got, you know, down south.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get those all the time here, Summer. We got one in the backyard right now.
We are nowhere near tech anymore, but I guess you can count that as science. That's part of our charter.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We've got animal husbandry. That's it.
If you watch The Last Doctor Who, the pigs will make sense to you.
Yeah. Scare pigs with guns. Thanks, Summer.
You're welcome.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
All right, I have a What the Chuck, but it's not really a rant so much as they always are. This one's more of a, wow, this is really cool.
What's up, Chuck?
Ha, ha, ha. Boy, never heard that one before. You got to pay your royalty. I own that now.
Warner Brothers does as well.
Are you tired of not being able to capture your good ideas in the shower? I think a while ago I mentioned that a lot of my good ideas come to me in church, the shower, and driving on the road. Well,
at least we can help one of those.
We've got one of them knocked down. This guy, Eric Mack, or Eric Mack Online, is his site. Did he do this or did somebody else? I think it was his blog. He actually put a whiteboard, a corkboard, a notepad, and a phone in his bathroom. Right next to the shower. The phone's going too far.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I can't quite, if you got a good idea in the shower, it's not in the shower, it's in the bathroom next to the shower, just above the towel rack. We'll have a link in the show notes, you can take a look at the picture. Pretty creative, but if you're dripping wet, the paper's not going to hold up too well. The dry erase marker board, well, maybe.
Hey, stupid PDA.
What's the humidity going to do to that cork? It's going to go like SpongeBob, man. This is so the paper will start to curl up after you get the humidity. But good idea. Hey, I just think it
I got an idea.
Yes.
A chalkboard. It's what they use when they dive.
A chalkboard? A grease board? A little grease marker board with a grease pen. You know, it's a little just a little white piece of plastic with a black grease mark. Hey. Sell them as the new high-tech shower gadget.
Look at it this way. In your new IT manager position, you can conduct meetings in your bathroom.
I think not.
Yeah, I can see you picking your head around the cat sharker. And, what? What'd you say now?
Hey.
Okay, yeah.
Someone want to run with that. Don't drop the soap.
Okay, moving right along.
Moving right along. We have the Geek Library. I have a Geek Thoughts. No, it's not a Geek Thoughts. It's another Star Trek one. And I'll play that at the beginning or at the end?
Go ahead.
All right.
Time for more stuff you don't see on Star Trek. Some of the crew visit the holodeck, and it works properly.
Never happens.
No.
Never happens. All right, speaking of other things that work properly, tell us about smart glasses.
Smart glasses. These glasses, they may get you noticed, but I don't know if it's the kind of notice that you want.
Oh, my they were God. Talking.
They change, they help your vision, so you change from long distance to reading mode with the flick of a switch. So your eyes are actually focused on the glasses.
Yeah.
Rather than the distance. And then if you just want to go from reading to looking at the distance, you just hit the button and you're able to do
that. I thought it was, the idea here is that Benjamin Franklin developed bifocals back in what, 1700s?
Mm-hmm.
And they really haven't changed that much. They've got no line bifocals, but they're still the same basic thing. You've got an upper half that's good for far away vision. You've got a bottom half that's good for near stuff. I wear them. It's great. I mean, I mm-hmm. can't live without them. I used to have single focals in like the late 80s, but then in the early 90s, I went to bifocals and I've loved them mm-hmm. ever since. But these are a new high-tech version of that. They use similar technology to a Fresnel lens. You know a lighthouse, how it's a bulb that shines in all directions, but due to the lens, how it's got concentric circles carved in the glass, focuses it into a beam. That's kind of what this does, only it's on a micron, 5 microns thick. These mm-hmm. little glasses do that. I thought there were also lasers that track your pupils to figure out how far you're focusing and adjust them automatically. Or is this, you said it was at a flick of a switch.
It says it uses an infrared laser.
Infrared laser, okay. But these things are just god-awful. They look like you ripped them off Johnny 5 out of Short Circuit.
Hello, more input. I think it needs a little more design.
Nice software, Stephanie. Nice glasses, nerd.
Get away from me, Poindexter.
We also have a game in the Geek Library, and this reminds me of something I used to play on the Mac Quadra 650 under OS 7.
I can beat that. Anyway, it's called King Pong. It's 3D Pong, and it actually is pretty cool. You move the mouse; it's like a flash game.
Mm-hmm.
You move the mouse, and the ball comes, and you have to your paddle's in front of you, and the paddle that you're fighting
the opponent is on a far wall. It's kind of like a racquetball court.
Yeah, exactly. Well, racquetball, you're both on the same side, Chuck.
Racquetball with a mirror.
Lemire. Yeah, that's it.
I played something similar called Shatterball on the Mac way back when. It had a paddle, you know, a square right in front of you. And when you click the mouse, you could actually latch onto this thing for just a second and like and scoot it off to the side to divert it and get more slice on the ball. And you weren't playing an opponent so much as yourself. And every once in a while, it would, as you gained more and more levels, it would throw bricks in the way and you had to break through the bricks. And they weren't always in a linear fashion. It was really interesting because the thing would start coming towards you, and then it would hit a brick and bounce back to the far wall. And you really didn't know really where to anticipate this. And you could get this thing cruising so fast. But King Pong is a lot like that. I only played it on level one, and he's not real hard to beat the opponent on level one.
Well, you know, we've had Pong's been around for so long, and it hasn't been updated really at all. So this is nice. But I had a thought on how to update Pong. Kind of mix it up with maybe some of the new 3D games. I was thinking, what if we were to take Pong and fix it where if you lose the ball, the opponent gets to come over there and shoot you and set your body on fire and decapitate you?
Well, that, yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Grand Theft Pong. Okay. Anyway.
Let's see. Someone was in the chat room. Stingray 42 was doing some news breaking for us while I was listening to you rant like that. I mean, go on about the Pong.
He sent you a link to a
Innovated mini quest slate, magnetic communication screen. It looks like one of those Magna Doodles for only $30.
That's what I need is an etch sketch in the shower.
Well, divers use these underwater. But good idea. More stuff at diversdiscount.com. Maybe we can get them as a sponsor.
It's been $30.
And the final one you've got is Isaac Newton collection.
Yeah, this is a collection of some high resolution scans of his notebooks when he was doing his chemistry and whatnot. It says it's the most complete laboratory notebook they have, and they have scans of it. And I put it in here because, well, from what I understand, I am related to Isaac Newton. That's where the brains come from.
You never know.
Well, actually, my great grandmother did one of those genealogy reports. And
wait, I can believe it. The picture on here has him staring at a barrel of something on fire. Look, it's my breakfast.
Oops. Anyway, I thought the scans were pretty cool to see. You know, I never thought about seeing a notebook that he wrote. You know. I mean, it's just, or anybody that are writings from that far ago, like the Dead Sea Scrolls were in Charlotte not too long ago.
He had a notebook?
It's the Dead Sea Scrolls, man. It's like the original notebook. What are you talking about?
Really? What was the battery life?
Huh? Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho, hey, I think that's it. I'm at the end of the list. You got any more?
Yeah, I can come up with some stuff all night long, but we only have so much time in a podcast.
If we sit here in the chat room, we could hit pause on the podcast and let the chat room people throw crap at us. As long as it's not poo.
It's like a barrel of monkeys. Oh, not literally throw crap at us.
Sorry, I watched Madagascar lately, so all I can think of is the monkeys, what they throw.
My word.
If you've got any poo, now would be the time. Let's take us out of here. We might have to do a Madagascar ripoff intro.
That's right. Hey, look, we've only got two more shows before we do the 101.
Right? Yeah, 99 and 100. Then it's 101.
Making sure I did my math right.
Anyway, so yeah, that's so Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Sunday. Come on down to the Technorama Center. We'll do that. So later. Anyway, the show number one, you messed me up. The 101's coming. We want charter clips. Just send them in.
We've got a bunch. We know there's a whole bunch of people out there that still haven't contributed. Hey.
If you've got a phone,
we've got a listener line. Technorama. Anyway.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's how to contact us. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com and send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And you can email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And don't forget the website, The Constant in the Universe. The other one. No, that one. ChuckChat.com.
If you've got forums, Skype, we also
all
have
good stuff, and you're stepping on me. Anyway.
Gotcha. Like I said, if you've got Skype, we do have a listener line. Just add ChuckChat to your Skype, and you can dump a message there. I keep forgetting about
help me.
Of recording.
Roll the music.
Thank you.
Cuddlyoka.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Participate in the forums at forums.friendsintech.com. If you're listening to the show just by clicking on the link, you could subscribe to it, and that would help out our feed burner stats and also our iTunes stats and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Do yourself a favor. Do someone else a practical joke. Tell them about Technorama, and you'll both live happily ever after.
It's like April Fool's year-round.
Until next time, thanks for listening. And Craig, what's the tradition?
101.